tournament for.
All right. Thank you all for coming. Wow. So if you're a new leader this semester, would you raise your hand? Look at that. And then we have more. There's David, kind of counts, sort of. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you guys so much. We have some cool things to share with you. Pastor Phil's going to get us started in prayer tonight. But first, welcome and thank you for coming.
Does everyone have the training notes or a pen?
We have notes and pen. Anybody need notes? Let's do notes first, then pen. So today, in small group, in Bible study, we were talking about being planted trees for community. And someone came up with the name of a tree that moves. What is that called? The roots move? Anyone know what kind of tree that is? Starts with an E. A what? An ent. An ent tree moves. So apparently there's a kind of what you learn from college students. Is it Lord of the Rings? Oh, what you don't learn from college students. That's what he said, too. Shoot.
What you shouldn't learn from college students is...
There you go. How they spend their time. Pastor Phil, would you start us, please?
Yeah. Father, we're so thankful for all of these Connect group leaders, these small group leaders, Lord, and so thankful for them. And I pray that you would abundantly bless them for the time that they give to touch other people's lives for your kingdom's sake. That, Lord, you reward them back with just a great joy and excitement and zeal that they get to be involved in the grassroots, the ground foundations of touching people's lives in a powerful way. I pray, Lord, that each of their groups would have people in there and that they would begin to open up their lives and share community together in such a way that they bear one another's burdens, that they hear one another's stories, that they do life together and enjoy it in a powerful way, Lord, realizing that being a part of the body of Christ in small group, in community, in connect groups is so rewarding because you do get to enjoy life with one another. So bless them, Lord. I also want to thank you for Dan and Cassie, Lord, as they head up and lead this. So thankful for such great leaders, Lord, who have such a passion and a zeal and enthusiasm to see small groups touching the lives of all of the people in our community, in our church, Lord, because they see and know how valuable it can be. But thank you, Lord, for those two that have such a passion and zeal for this, Lord. So bless them as they teach us and train us, and let us be attentive, Lord, and let us enjoy the ministry you've given us. In Jesus' wonderful name, Lord. And everybody said, amen. Daniel, take it away.
All right. Well, I'm going to actually hand it to Cassie. We're going to cover some announcements, some administrative ones, and some calendar ones. Should be on.
Hello? It is on. Great. So everyone got a packet of paper. Dan, can you run back? Yeah. Great, so we'll just cover a couple of upcoming events, and then I have some clipboards that I'll pass around during the training. But contrary to our email, the spaghetti feed is this Sunday, not yesterday. And so we're still looking for volunteers. So if you guys can announce at your small groups even, or if there's someone, not any of your new people, none of your new folks, but if there's someone who wants to come and volunteer, do we know what kind of volunteers we need? Serving?
Hey, why don't we give them 5 minutes? Well, let's help clean up. You know, if you're with a couple of your folks, to say, hey, let's do something for 5 minutes, and boom, and get in there and get out and realize that you've able to help for at least a little bit. Sometimes people that help out feel more and more connected that it's something that they're a part of because they're helping in it.
So please see, let myself or Catherine know. Maybe we can get the information to Carol or talk to Carol directly. Okay. Wonderful. And then we have a girlfriend's event, women's event on Saturday, September 28th, right, Anna? 21st? Okay. Oh, that's right. So this coming Saturday at 7 p.m. at Catania's house. So it's a movie night. So invite the gals in your small groups to that. And then the women's retreat is coming up the 17th to the 19th of October. Yes, of October. And are you going to talk about VeggieTales?
No.
Oh. VeggieTales is coming up on the 28th as well.
I was going to do Carpenter Series.
Do Carpenter Series.
Okay, I just... I know we don't announce every event that's necessarily going on at the small group level, but with Carpenter Series starting up, you guys are all the folks that know all the newest people who are going to be coming to your small groups who may not have taken Carpenter Series yet. So I would appreciate if you could promote within your group, you know, over the next month or so, just be taking note specifically and specifically inviting people to enroll in the Carpenter Series if you think it's something they could benefit from. If they've never taken it, they can benefit from it. There's information at the table in the back, the upcoming events table. You can take a little flyer, and if you need to... Yeah, so we're doing the format a little bit differently. You know, we did the whole reteaching last year, so it's 9 lessons to get through 101 and 201, right? They have multiple options. So over the course of this next school year, people have 15 opportunities to get into the Carpenter Series, which is quite a bit more than what we've had up until this point. And so the new format really enables us to do this in a more flexible way. Hopefully that's going to fit into people's schedules a little bit better. So one option is they could do Sunday mornings, 9 to 10 a.m., kind of our traditional format. You do one lesson a week. Another option is that we're doing on Thursday nights and on Saturdays. You can take lessons in multiple lesson blocks, okay? So 101, for example, is 5 lessons. So starting in October, on Thursday, we'll start on Saturday, October 5th. Someone could come in at 10 a.m., and they could go through lessons 1 through 3. We'll have a lunch break. We'll feed them lunch, and then they could do lessons 4 and 5 that afternoon. So from 10 to 3, or about 4, they could get through all of 101 in one day. So if that's the kind of thing that's going to work for people better than a consistent weekly schedule, then that could be really great. They could get in, get out, and be done with 101 in one day. Yes. If they didn't have, you know, a 10 to 4 block of time, but they can do 10 to 1, they could get through 3 lessons. The following week, come back and do the second half and get through 2 lessons. Or... they could hit them on a Thursday night because we have them blocked off on Thursday nights as well. I know that might sound like a lot of things to remember. It's all lined out pretty clear on these little half-size sheets at the upcoming events table, and they'll stay back there. And so I'll run back and grab some of those. If any of you want to take one of those, just have it with you in your small group meeting. For any of you who know, oh, I know I have newer folks that are in our meeting that could benefit from that. Okay.
So speaking of VeggieTales, it is coming the 28th, and for us, rather than thinking of it as an event that you might want to decide whether you want to just come to or not, think of it as an event that we're opening up our house to have as an outreach and gathering people in around the community that might not normally come. So we're also asking for volunteers for the event. I know it's the same weekend as Big Weekend, so campus... a lot of the students are going to not be there, but the rest of us, we can help out. And you get a free ticket if you volunteer for us. We need people the Wednesday night before. We're having a group that's going to be doing some setup of the facility. We have a group. We need guys that are going to do some load-in of all their equipment and load-out. And we need some people that are going to be taking tickets, sell some merchandise. So please, the next couple of services, we're going to have clipboards for sign up. So please do sign up. Remember, this is our way of inviting people into the church. It's not just an event whether, well, do I want to come to or not. All right? So let's join together. We are going to bless our community. This is a nationally acclaimed show. I mean, it's popular all over. So I haven't seen it, but they sold out in Spokane last year, and now we're doing it here. So
and actually, the tickets aren't that bad when you consider Sesame Street is like $25 a ticket. So, and VeggieTales are way cooler than Sesame Street. Perfect. So then we just wanted to share with you what you can expect from us as far as training. So we're going to do one live 1-hour training each semester. This will count for that in the next semester. The beginning of the spring semester, we'll do another live training from 7 to 8. And then in between that, we're going to do a monthly training, and the monthly training will be a video via email. So kind of like we did a couple of those last semester, they're going to be anywhere between 5 and 30 minutes, more likely closer to the 5-minute or less range, just as some upcoming events, announcements, encouragement, life from the Word, things that God puts on our hearts. And so that'll be the ongoing monthly training that you can expect from us. What we'll do with that is we'll finish it, we'll send it out to you about the first of the month, and it'll be due by the 20th of the month. There'll be a response in there where you can just respond to it. We had a couple of issues with being able to pick up the email or get the video, like it wasn't downloading on certain computers. And if there are issues with that, please let us know so we can fix them right away.
We do want to make sure that you go through them and get them done, too. It's going to be 5 to 8, 10 minutes really long, and but we don't want you to hold on to those. And we decided to do that rather than having you come back once a month to a meeting like this. We thought, let's make them less, and then we'll just give you information via the Internet, since that's the easiest way to do things now. But it's easy if you will promise to make sure that you view it and get it done, check it off, and get the information back, whatever's been requested, or just letting them know that you've done it. So will you please make sure that you will do it, all right? And if both of you, if two are leading, both of you need to do it, not just one of you, you got to make sure you both view it. 5 minutes, pretty easy. It's we're trying to make it very, very easy for you to do, but please make sure we don't have to. The biggest thing, a hard thing then, is them running you down trying to go, hey, have you done it? Have you done that yet? Have you filled that out? And then you got to track it down forever. So please, please don't do that. When you get it, view it, do it, and get it done. Just be that kind of a thing, because we're trying to respect your time. So please respect their time too, because I don't want them to go into trying to figure out who didn't do this and all of that. I want them to just figuring out, hey, how are we going to keep moving and tweaking our small groups and our connect groups to make them better and better and better. And so that's really, really important.
Thank you, Pastor Phil. And we want it to be valuable to you. And so if you get a chance, if you could just send us an email, we'll probably send you out an email later on this week as well, on what topics you would find valuable to cover in a training like that, a very brief training. What would be valuable for your specific small group? There's a wide variety of small groups out there, and so connect groups out there. So let us know, and we'll probably send something out just requesting that information. We'd also like to request information from the rally. We're looking for better and new ways to do things, and we want valuable feedback from you guys, if it's effective, if it's worthwhile. I know a lot of times the same signups happen, and so how we want to get some more feedback and information on how to have our small groups be evangelistic and get more people signed up. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to send around a couple clipboards. On one of the clipboards, I have updated the attendance. So anyone who signed up on your sheet of paper, so I gave you some of the sheets of paper. There's two of those. I gave you sheets of paper from who signed up at the rally. That information is already on this clipboard. I gave it to you so you had their contact information if you didn't have a phone number or an email address. So that'll go around. If you could add to that, this is actually the list from the spring. So some of these you can just cross off if they're no longer attending and add those who are attending that did not sign up at the rally. So if you could update that for us, it's valuable for us to be able to see the percentage of our congregation that's involved in small groups. So, and help get people plugged in that aren't plugged in. The other one that's here is leader information. So if you haven't been receiving emails from us and you want to be, or if you've been receiving emails in an email address that you don't want it sent to, if you could update this for us, that would be helpful.
Let me say this. If you've been receiving emails and you don't want to, that's tough. You have to receive them, okay? So you don't just go, oh, I don't want to receive them no more. That's the whole idea. We're giving them to you. We're trying to make them really concise and all that, so they'll be fun, entertaining, exciting, informative, and just absolutely wonderful, because these are wonderful folks.
Last but not least, after tonight, if we could have just a few people help us take down and put away the tables from the rally and reset the round tables, that would be fantastic. Thank you. And then Dan has an awesome training for us tonight. So we gave you the handout. Does anyone else need a pen, or did anyone else sneak in that didn't get the handout? Great. All right.
All right, great. The first thing I wanted to do is just run through some numbers with you guys. These aren't valid for this year because we just kicked them off, but here's a summary of where we're at by a few categories breakdown. So To start with, for people that have been married for over 50 years here in this church, 100% of those people who call them this their home church are involved in a small group. 100%. All right, so we take a small drop here. 32 to 39 years, 60.71%. 25 to 28 years, 56%. This is our lowest category here, so we'll work on this. 19 to 20 years, it's 20%. Then we kick way back up again. 8 to 12 years, 60%. Check this one out. 1 to 4. Now you're going to go, this isn't true because I know someone who isn't. Remember, these are people who we would consider members of the church. 1 to 4 years, 100%. Singles, 61.54%. I skipped some gaps, so I'll do years married, 40 to 49. Sorry, I went down instead of across. 100% again, 29 to 31 years, 40%. 21 to 24 years, 67%. Married 13 to 18 years, 75%. Married 5 to 7 years, 87.5%. Our new young marrieds groups are doing fantastic. I'm in one, the Allens. Whoop, whoop. 77%. That's a whole brand new ministry we didn't have before. And 77% are involved in that. That's fantastic. Community, what a fantastic job with Trent and Sherry and overlap with a whole bunch of other Schluters, Ratliffs, all over the place. About 56%. And young professionals are doing amazing at about 81%. 81%. So if you take all those up, you add them up, and you divide by the number of categories, that's 79.25%. So if you call this your church, then you're a member here, about 80% are in a Connect group. That is absolutely fantastic, and that should be a round of applause for all of you guys for the work that you've done.
It's fantastic.
They wouldn't be there if they weren't fantastic groups to be at, led by some truly amazing people. The other thing I wanted to go through real quick, it's just some of the other craziness involved with being an LFF Connect group leader. All right, so let me get to my page, sorry. All right, on Sundays, we have 19 Connect groups. On Mondays, we have 9 Connect groups. On Tuesday, we have 11 Connect groups. On Wednesdays, even though we have church, we still have 1 Connect group. On Thursdays, we have 4 Connect groups. Fridays, 5 Connect groups. Saturday, 3. And then there's 4 of them that couldn't pick a day or time. So they just, time and location varies. So that's for really fun outdoor enthusiasts like Robert. So they're all over the place. But that's amazing. There is not a day in the week that a Connect group is not meeting. Not a single day. And our favorite day happens to be Sunday. We just stack them on Sunday. So the last ones I wrote down here at the end that I thought were pretty fun are about 75 leaders. So that's counting married couples, so 75. And those 75 leaders, even if you count married couples, are leading 60 small groups, 60 Connect groups. So a lot of our groups are paired, so that you've got people like BZ Davis who are leading 3 Connect groups. So she holds our record right now, 3 groups. So if you want a challenger, I double dog dare you. So I just wanted to say way to go and thank you so much. That's incredible. I don't know many churches anywhere that have statistics like that. We're a highly relational church, and we're a highly involved church, and that's a very, very healthy thing, and it's thanks to you guys. So thank you so much. Thank you, thank you. Tonight in front of you, we're going to talk about the purpose of Living Faith Fellowship Connect groups. So what I'd like to do is just say our mission statement together. It's right underneath the purpose. Here we go. To make devoted followers of Jesus in community, empowered by the Holy Spirit. I love that. Thank you, Pastor Phil, for that. That's absolutely fantastic. Tonight we're going to hone in a little bit on the community aspect and devoted followers of Jesus. So here's what I want you to do. This is familiar to some of our campus Bible study leaders. What I want you to do is I want you to break in 4 to 5 around you. And what I want you to do is list some of the different purposes of our Connect groups. And so I gave you a few examples, friendships, accountability, that kind of stuff. I want you to just start popping them off. We'll create a list and then we'll come back together, okay? So take just a couple minutes to do that. Thank you. Has everyone seen the list? How many different lists do we have, Cassie? 2 different clipboards. So has everyone seen 2 different clipboards? Anyone not over here? Oh, the attendance one's going to take some time. All right. Two for just attendance or leaders? Didn't get either. Great. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to discover that some of these are going to overlap, so what I want to do is just start shouting them out, and I'll write them up and misspell them as I go, and then you guys can correct me, and it'll be like the funnest thing you did all night. All right? All right, so what are some purposes? Encouragement. Fun. CJ on Strength Finder is strong on woo. Support. Good. Sorry, what? Eat. Food. Sure. Okay. What else? Natural help. Yes, Pastor. Christian mingle. Okay. That stays in here in Jesus' name. What was the other one? Relationships. Like, wah, wah. Good grief. That reminds me of BLTs, and now I'm happy. Okay, next. Mentor. Ship. What? Impartation. I have a top secret plan. What else? Friendship and accountability. Did we put friendship up there yet? Shame on us. To meet a spouse. Love. I got room for days, Dave. Days. Okay, what else? To be known. Be needed. Who said that? Way to go, Sarah Cross. When I first came to work at the church, I had to spell evangelism, and I spelled it wrong. I spelled it evangelism, right? And Lily Sherman has not stopped making fun of me for it because I worked in the evangelism. Anyway, I'm an evangelist. What else? Family and truth. Engage truth, discuss truth. We'll just say truth, I guess. What else? Challenged. Good, Joe. What else? Spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. We're out of room, so we have to stop. Okay, so let's make some bigger categories. I guess first we'll just start here. Ignore this. What ones can get lumped together and maybe to a larger blanketing, encompassing word? Mentor and discipleship. Wait. So let's come up with one word. Which one better encompasses the other word? Discipleship. Okay, so we're going to say discipleship ate mentoring. So it still exists, okay? Is there any other discipleship munches, any of these here? Okay, where would it accountability go? Discipleship. Yeah, but it's lumped in. Anything that's circled is going to stay as a larger category. We may have to invent some bigger names as we go. Anything else fitting in discipleship? Someone tell me where challenged is. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so Okay, what else? I think this is its own. I think prayer is its own. You're right. So prayer would get... Yeah. That's probably spiritual growth. Okay. So if I could come up with a better word for this, I'd probably say community. What do you guys think? I just think that's more encompassing than the word relationship. So we'll make that. Anything else? Yes, Ricky. A reason to clean your house. That's it, the bullseye. That's why we all do what we do. It's our reason for living. That is it. Anything else we're missing other than reason to clean your house? There's lots. That's actually what makes your job so darn hard, is you get asked to be everything. You're asked to be a pastor, a coach, a shepherd, a mentor, a trainer, an equipper, a friend, an evangelist, a shoulder to cry on. You're asked to be available. You're asked all these things. And it's incredibly difficult to do what you do on a regular basis. It's very, 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 very challenging. And to put it out there and to just start crossing things off is painful. Like some of you are probably going, why would you cross that off? You can't do that. That's my thing. That's what I'm so good at, right? Like Tyrell, we didn't even put vehicle maintenance up there. I'm just kidding. That's not just your thing. Never cross out truth. Lesson learned. Thanks, Robert. Okay. Now I want you, on your own, no cheating or peeking, I want you to put what you think is the bullseye. The bullseye being what this is all about, and you only get to pick from discipleship, community, prayer, evangelism, and spiritual growth. Right? Anything others? Okay, so you get to pick from those. Yep, right in the bullseye. So draw an arrow because I know it's colored in. It was red. And on out, okay? Yeah, prioritize. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Just be quiet and fill it. Spiritual growth. Spiritual growth, community, discipleship, prayer, and evangelism. You're going to be asked to defend your answer. I hope you're ready. Always be ready to give a reason for the, darn it, should say answer. How you guys doing? You nailed it down yet? All right. Joe Cross, are you ready? Wait. You're going to have to say it into this so that it gets picked up on the recording. How did you order him? Oh, he forgot one.
All right. So in the middle, I put discipleship because I honestly kind of feel like that's really what most of this is about, is that, I don't know, we get a lot of people that come here that are Christians, myself included. Like when I showed up here, it's like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but I need a lot more in my life, and I had no idea that I did. And discipleship is kind of how you get there. After you really put me on the spot. After that, I put evangelism because you have no one to disciple otherwise. And spiritual growth after that seems pretty related to me. And then prayer, and the one I forgot was relationships. But yeah. Don't know where that would go. I would put it before that.
Put relationship up higher, mad at you. All right, who put relationship up higher than that? Or community? All right, let's hear from wisdom over here.
Well, I put community. I put number one because when I think of connect groups, that's what's happening in the groups that I see or am more involved with, and then it's a lot of the.
Hello.
Anyway, because a lot of the other, like evangelism, some of the discipleship, that's happened in more structured things or spiritual growth, like Bible foundations or Sunday morning classes and other things than just the connecting group community relationships. And then I went 2, spiritual growth, 3, fellowship, and then prayer, and then I put evangelism last.
Fellowship, she lumped in with community. All right, anyone else have a different take? Anybody? Of course you do. Somebody just bold enough. Okay.
Yeah, I have. I have.
Well, you're not eating tonight. We crossed it off in your house.
I put spiritual growth down towards the bullseye because if we do discipleship, that's the purpose of discipleship, is so a person will grow spiritually. And you don't get discipleship until you get them saved, and then prayer and community. Community is kind of the first peripheral thing that we start brings people in as they start looking at, wow, I can have a friend here, and that's the thing, that's their first hook, and the whole thing is we're dragging them down into the center of spiritual growth.
Wow, how many just dead on with Curtis? That's what you had. We're going to make shirts. I agree with Curtis. All right. Anyone else? Jamie, did you raise your hand?
I almost went sideways, but Eunice helped me. Prayer, if you define prayer as intercession, then it's not it. But if you define prayer as authentic, intimate communion or intimate connection with the Godhead, everything flows from that. You don't have evangelism without authentic, intimate communion with the Lord. You don't have spiritual growth without authentic intimate communion. We don't have discipleship without authentic intimate communion. You don't have community without authentic intimate communion. It all centers on Him.
And without And without that, we have social clubs.
So I want to thank Eunice for helping me.
Let it be noted on the recording that the teacher cheated.
All right.
Anybody else? He was resourceful. That's great. It's great. It's all about teamwork now, right? It's community. All right. So I think in that same line, that same vein, what you could say is that all these are wrong. Because if you extrapolate it on what Jamie said, it's all about God. Right? It's all about him. And so that's how prayer trumps this. Prayer's kind of an interesting one to just go, you know, it encompasses everything, just like God encompasses everything. So for the sake of this, and God knows we can't go without prayer, we're going to set this aside as just a little interesting because it's different. It defies the categorization, all right? Just the same way that God is outside of this bullseye because he owns it, right? So he's in it, outside it, all that stuff. All right, what I would say, and I don't have to be right. Oh, my gosh, the senior pastor, yeah.
And I appreciate everything everybody's saying, and that's really important. But if our purpose for small groups or connect groups is not, I mean, what our purpose is for it is to develop a community. We do it via all of those other factors. So I put community at the center because that was the most important aspect. And we use all of those other aspects to develop that community in a powerful way. So, and again, it wasn't talking about what's the number one thing in your life. Well, sure, it's God. But why are we using small groups? We're using small groups for a purpose, at least that I see, as to develop that community. That community is the purpose. How we do it? Well, we need prayer. We do evangelism. We have spiritual growth. We've got discipleship. We've got all that to develop that community. And then if we go outside of it and say that community is the purpose of the community itself, is to be focused on God. So that's how I see it. And I'm sure that whatever you define it as allows you to put whatever you put first in the center, I think. So is my thought.
And at Living Faith, thank you, Pastor Phil. At Living Faith, what we have right here, because of the diversity of small groups we have, this is almost an impossible question. It really is, because you've got small groups that range from interest-based to stage of life to all kinds of different stuff. And so in here, what I would say we have is probably something like a hook. It's what grabs people's attention that draws them into, and then Pastor Phil, community, absolutely, wherever it went. It's somewhere up here, right there. For the most part, that's going to be community. It's the reason they came in here on Sunday. It's the reason they're in their group, all right? So I think somewhere in here, we're going to find that there's a hook. Some of you are going to find that for your group, one of those things stands out. It far surpasses all the others, and that's the thing that's going to get people in. It's probably rooted in community somewhere in there. So here's the danger, though. If we put community at the center, Eunice, what's our danger with community being the first thing out from our hook? You said it before. Eunice, you said a social club, right? So if we're stuck here and we're just really enjoying community, then what happens is we can end up with a closed group that could never evangelize because we're just enjoying each other too much, right? So we have a ton of fun there, all right? And please understand, as I say this, I really want you to understand, impossible question given the breadth of small groups we have. I just want you to ponder this, to think this through, all right? Well, what if we put evangelism right here instead of community, right? Then what's our risk? If evangelism is what we're all about, then what's our risk? No community. Yeah. We push away the quiet people. We push away the people who are already saved. But there's a lot that already saved people need. So what about discipleship? What's the danger there? Yeah, they don't even like that word or know what it means. Yeah, I'm like, am I a Jedi Knight, right, Dave? I don't know. Yes, Padawan learner, right? I don't know. What does that mean? Okay, so there's turnoffs to each one of these as we put it at the core, right? Spiritual growth. Now, this one's interesting to me Because a lot of these have to do with the way you see it, the lens you see it through. Like Pastor Phil sees community through a lens that I bet a lot of us didn't see it through, and I think that he's absolutely right. Spiritual growth through the lens I see it, to me, sits at the core of my groups. Because whether someone is saved or not saved, remember the angle scale, I can bump someone, whether they're saved or not saved, one step closer or deeper into their relationship with Christ, either side of the median. So the angle scale is right here. I have salvation. This way I have unsaved. This way I have saved. Spiritual growth can happen anywhere there, right? So if I put spiritual growth somewhere near the center here, then what I have is a group that can grow people no matter where they're at, right? Through the lens I see spiritual growth. Now, some of you saw the word spiritual growth and thought of something totally different, right? So a lot of it has the way you see that lens through. The point of this exercise isn't to say, gosh, we've got our purposes nailed down. We know exactly what our core is, our focus is as small groups. The breadth of this, the flavor of it, makes us Baskin Robbins, where people who love to go out and ride bicycles and experience the outdoors can do it with phenomenal Christian people and grow in their walk with God. People who want to do book studies and deep Bible studies, times of intense prayer, can grow in their walk with God. That's a beautiful thing. That's an awesome thing. I wouldn't want to change that. What I do want us to think about is what's the cost benefit of what we put at the core of our group? And here's the other really beautiful thing about it, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but we're also running out of time, is this. So I'm going to pick on Anna and Carl, okay, but in a fun way. Okay, so let's say I've got spiritual growth here somewhere near the center. Community is my hook, right, because they wouldn't have come otherwise. And then right outside of this, Carl is an evangelist, right? So he's fired up, man. People are getting saved constantly, all the time, getting saved. But at the core of his group is spiritual growth. So he's taking someone, whether they're saved or not, and he's bumping them closer to Jesus. And the whole focus of that group is he's going to move a bunch of people out of that group at the end of the semester who are ready to reach the world for Christ, because that's how Carl fires. Anna, her strength is community. She's good at loving on people. She is phenomenal at making people feel welcome and at home and comfortable and safe and secure. And she's going to take people places that Carl's group probably won't. And their strength is going to be, they're going to be the ones that are full of compassion and empathy. And they're going to walk out and they're going to do the same somewhere else and give that away to someone else because their leader taught them that. The cool thing about this is you're not required to go A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I think these categories are fantastic. I think that's what a small group should encompass, those broad categories. The choice is up to you and your strengths on how you want to order those, and your group is going to become a fantastic reflection of how God has uniquely gifted you. What we do need to understand is the cost-benefit of putting different things at different places. So what I wouldn't do is overemphasize any one of these things too strongly, because the cost of that is going to mean a little bit of exclusiveness, right? So just something to think about. Is that helpful at all as you guys look at the perspective of all this stuff? So I'm sorry, if I had to step back and look at what the heck was on that board, I go, I don't know what that is. There we go. Good luck, everyone. So given the unique call of God has given us as LFF Connect Group leaders, the purpose of Connect Groups is to blank, right? For me, I would put in spiritual growth. I think community, but Pastor Phil, that's perfect. It's great. What I want you to do is I want you to look at that, and I want you to seek the Lord on that, and your core, I think, should fall somewhere in the community, spiritual growth, discipleship. Pastor Phil's vision for us, our mission statement, remember, is to make devoted followers of Jesus. Our very first step is discipleship, our very first thing. So I think at that core, what we're talking about when we talk about what we want to see happen in a person's life is we want to see a hook bring them into our group, and then we want to see them wherever they're at grow. So for me, I'd put spiritual growth there. I want to read this to you. Take just a quick second. We have a few minutes left. I want you to just close your eyes. I'll read. You don't have to close your eyes. Here we go. This is from the Field Guide to Small Group Leaders by Sam O'Neill. He runs smallgroup.com. He's a fantastic guy, just awesome. You're going on a safari. You've done extensive research and picked out the perfect wilderness organization to help you come face-to-face with elephants or crocodiles or monkeys or exotic birds, whatever series of animals really gets your fire going. Sure, it's expensive, but this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and you are totally excited. You purchase tickets for Africa or South America, and you have a great experience on the flight. You've packed lots of new survival clothing and high-tech wilderness gadgets, and by some miracle, all your luggage arrives at the same airport as you at the same time. Things couldn't be going better. Pretty soon, you're riding in a Jeep with four other adventurers. Your safari guide is driving. His name is Crush, or something cool like that. And he speaks perfect English. He looks very rugged and dependable, very capable of thriving in the wild and helping others do the same. Plus, he's wearing the same kind of hat as Crocodile Dundee in that movie you really liked. When everyone gets out of the Jeep, you're standing on the threshold of an untamed jungle. You can see huge trees full of exotic leaves and vines. You smell the light perfume of wild blossom mixed with musty scent of bark and leaves and dirt. Hear the bubbling of a river somewhere off to your left, and the frantic, continuous call of unknown birds. Then things begin to go off track. First, Crush pulls a chair from the back of the Jeep, unfolds it, and sits down. He takes off his hat and says, "Everyone gather around. Circle up on me." Crush takes out a large notebook and begins talking about the jungle behind you. He talks for more than half an hour. He tells a few stories about his experience in the jungle and reads some interesting facts out of his notebook. At least, they would be interesting if you weren't standing in front of the real thing. When Crush closes his notebook, he asks if anyone has any questions about what he has just shared. No one does. Then Crush starts asking several questions of his own. He wants to know if anyone has ever been in a jungle and what it was like. He wants to know how you react emotionally to the idea of a jungle. Are you more afraid or interested? He wants you to repeat some of the facts he read out of the notebook. Sometimes he just rereads different sections when nobody seems to remember the right answer. After a particularly long and awkward silence, which we've all experienced, Crush looks down at his watch and says, "Hey, it's getting late. We better pray and head back." Crush closes his eyes, thanks God for a safe drive out to the jungle and the chance to have a good discussion. Then everyone piles back into the Jeep and off you go. Not a very satisfying safari, huh? The reason why is obvious. Your leader had a poor understanding of what he was supposed to do. He helped you get close to the jungle. He gave you some interesting information. He gave you a chance to talk with other people in the group, but he never took you where you wanted to go. He never helped you experience anything. In all of the job description that we have as small group leaders, there's so much that's asked of us, connect group leaders at Living Faith. And a lot of times, the people in our group suffer because we're not taking them into the jungle. We're not helping them practically experience real Christianity. And there's lots of ways that happens. It's a little bit subjective in an illustration like that, but for example, we believe in a God that heals, right? So when we have people hurting in our small groups, we don't go, "Oh, I'm sorry you're hurting," right? We go, "Let me pray for you," because we believe in a God that heals. We want to take them into the jungle. So just real quick, we have a couple minutes left. I just want to shout out some ways that you guys have and are planning on taking your groups into the jungle to practically experience this spiritual growth that's so important to our small groups. So let's go for it. Evangelizing at Southside. That's into the jungle. It's awesome. How else? Teaching them to pray. That's right. Take them to the throne room of God. Show them what it's like there in his presence. Show them how to access that. It's fantastic. What else? Into the jungle. Sandy. That's right. That's fantastic. So instead of just talking about an issue or a problem, we're going to engage the God who has the answer, the healing, the source for what we really need. That's fantastic. Jamie. Good. Yeah, because the jungle has bad things in it. So we need to know what the devil looks like, right?
because he masquerades as an angel of light. What else? Ricky. That's right. Yeah, what a horrible thing. Crush goes, get in the jungle. Poof. I'm staying here in my lawn chair at the Jeep. Right? Now we go into the jungle with them. All right. Yeah. Fantastic. Fantastic. An impartation of the supernatural coming from God's realm into the natural realm. That's awesome. That's bringing the jungle into real practical, real world presence. That's awesome. Well, we're out of time. The point of that was simply to say that, and I love it because you guys who answer that lead vastly different groups. No matter where you're at, we can take people into the jungle and we can move them forward in the things of God. So our core purposes may vary, and I'm glad that they do, because that's what makes all of our groups uniquely powerful and wonderfully attractive to the people that come. But what we need to do is to make sure that we're continuing to help them grow and move forward in their relationship with God in a way that engages the jungle. So here's what I want to pray for you for in just an honest and real way, because this is what we wish all of our small groups were, is sometimes we get, as leaders, wary of the jungle. You know, like we've been in there, right? We know what's in there. We know that sometimes there's pitfalls there. There's beautiful waterfalls. There's wonderful wild animals, but there's snakes and there's spiders and there's jaguars and there's lions and tigers and bears, oh my, right? What I want to pray for you for is this, is the courage to take them into the jungle all over again this semester as we kick this off. You know, it's not easy, if you're Eunice or you're not Eunice, to teach somebody to pray. That's not something that someone gets in a moment. It takes time, right? It's not easy to walk side by side with someone through life's pains and problems. That's hard, and we can get wary of the jungle. And so what I wanted to do tonight in an honest way is just take time to pray and offer encouragement for the jungle. 75 different Connect groups, almost 80% involvement as a church body. And you guys will lead them the way into the jungle and help them to grow in their continually in their walk with God. What a phenomenal ministry. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these leaders. I thank you for what you do in and through them. Lord, sometimes we get a little intimidated by the jungle. We want to be like Crush, who just stops and sits outside of it. We're willing to tell people about it, but not necessarily willing to step in and help them grow. God, I thank you for those that are here tonight who have paid the price over and over and over again to help people in the jungle, Lord, to really experience the things of God. And Lord, we know this, that real growth only happens as a byproduct of the work of the Holy Spirit. It only happens because you've went to work in lives, Lord. So we don't presume to say that just because we walk into the jungle with them that all of a sudden spiritual growth happens, Lord. It's because we walked into the jungle with them, with you, and you moved and you transformed their lives as we stood beside them and we asked the God who is real to come and do real things in their lives. Lord, we pray for a whole brand new fresh adventure, that you make us thirsty for the waterfalls deep within, that there be salvations and baptism of the Holy Spirit and breakthrough and deliverance and all kinds of phenomenal things happening, Lord, as we experience the beauty of the waterfalls that are only deep in the jungle, Lord. Lord, I thank you for these leaders and the way that they've stepped up and said, God, use me. Use me for your plan and your purposes. Lord, all this for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you so much. I have a note. I do. All right. Since our core purpose is to, and I'm going to leave that. I've said spiritual growth. I want you to think about that. Please take time this week to pray through and carefully answer the question in the context of my Connect group. How can I make devoted followers of Jesus Christ? That's a great question. I came up with it, but that's not why it's a great question. Sorry. And email your answer to Cassie and I at that address by the 23rd, please. If you have any questions about any of this stuff, I probably don't have the answer, but I'm willing to talk to you about it. And if you can help with a couple tables, that'd be fantastic. There really isn't much back there. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you guys for leading this aspect of small groups, connect groups here at Living Faith Fellowship, and the vision, the wisdom, and the insight and the excitement that you guys are sharing. Also, it does mean that they're very knowledgeable about all this stuff. If you have any questions at all about your small groups, your connect groups, at all, anything, don't sit there and sit on it. Ask them. Email them, call them, see them at church, whatever. Make sure you communicate with them and don't just sit on it. We're here to help you, okay? We want to make sure you get the answers.